ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة.
Muslim family.
Islamic family paradigm.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of the One who has created each and every one of us unique in our own way. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is the program Muslim Family you are listening to, and we're proud to say that we're speaking to you from the holy city of Qom, the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Looking up at the sky, searching for Allah Most High. He rejected the way of worshipping gods of clay. Prophet Ibrahim knew that Allah was near, and that the heart of a Muslim is sincere. Under the hot burning sun, he declared God is one. Though with stones on his chest, his iman would not rest. The Mu'adhin knew that right will conquer wrong, and the heart of a Muslim.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the program Muslim Family you are listening to. I'm Fatema Shamali, the host of this program, and we have invited once again Dr. Abbas Ali Shamali. He holds an MA in Developmental Psychology and a PhD in Culture and Values in Education from McGill University, Canada. He has more than 12 years of experience in counseling issues, specifically on family affairs, and he is at the moment a staff member of the International University of Al-Mustafa, Jamiat Al-Mustafa Al-Alamiya. Dr. Shamali, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to Muslim Family.
Alaykum assalam again. I came back to your program, Muslim Family, for possible characters that we need to hold and protect a Muslim family from disasters.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll listen to a short song, and we're going to be back with the start of our discussions.
The heart of a Muslim through the guidance of Islam that makes you fair and kind and helpful to your fellow man. So living as a Muslim means that you must play a part. Allah looks not at how you look, but what is in your heart?
My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, this is Muslim Family you are listening to. I'm Fatima Shamali, the host of this program. Dr. Shamali, as we have been discussing for the past few sessions, we've been talking about the criteria that our brothers and sisters in Islam should have in mind when they want to consider choosing their future spouse. For the past two sessions, I think, we were talking about who not to marry and what characteristics are important, and divided in these characteristics into two parts. First of all, we were talking about the spiritual characteristics or the moral ones that the potential partner should hold, such as akhlaq, ethics and moral values, and taqwa or piety. These were the most important things. We have to clarify for ourselves what our motivation in marriage is, and in line with that we can choose our proper spouse. We talked about like family background, appearances, and other aspects. And last time we told you that it would our last session would be, inshallah, the last session that we would talk about spouse selection, and then we would move on to another discussion. But Dr. Shamali and I decided that we need to add one more program just to have a more comprehensive discussion of what we have already presented to you. So Dr. Shamali has informed us that today he's going to continue talking to us about groups of people that our infallibles have told us not to marry, or who not to marry. So Dr. Shamali, we're ready to listen to your remarks.
Thank you very much for your very nice presentation about what we have discussed in our past discussions. Again, while I was just reviewing words of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and the infallible imams with regard to spouse selection, I came across very important other aspects. And it shows the comprehensiveness of our leader, infallible leader, with regard to family formation. Family formation is a core. So we need to make serious effort. This is indeed, to my opinion, it's a type of remaining investment. So not to arrive at the point of idealistic selection, mm-hmm. we need to follow the criteria mm-hmm. afforded by Ahlul Bayt, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi.
I just want to share something with our listeners, and maybe it's a little surprising to you, because we've been talking about the characteristics that men should consider in their wives or in their future wives, and we didn't have much of like the girls talking. Well, we did talk about akhlaq and taqwa and, I don't know, praying when you want to get married and asking Allah to help you and being careful about your cases, but we generally talked about the qualifications in women. I just want to say that we have to remember that the context of this ahadith is the time of the Prophet and the Imams.
Islamic community.
At that time, or maybe even today, in most cases, it's the man who goes for the girl. So that's why the people who usually went to the Imams and asked, they were the men. So the answers were given in a way that they're addressing men. But a lot of them, or most of these cases, we can apply, we women can apply to the potential cases that ask the girl's hand in marriage. We can consider if they have these characteristics or not. Okay, so we're going to leave it here, but we're going to go for a short break, and then we're going
to
be right
just
back.
To add one tiny point, I just was looking for cases that will be vice versa. You know, the girl goes for clarifying the characteristics, mm-hmm. and I couldn't find except 2-3 examples, you know, as a whole.
Right.
In the
all
whole,
in all, two or three cases.
Just Prophet Jacob
mm-hmm.
was offering one of the his two daughters
his
to
daughters.
Prophet Moses.
Yeah.
And, you know, some cases with regard to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi mm-hmm. wa sallam, some of his wives, after he was looking, you know, the previous wife was dead and he was looking for, so there were offer.
Mm-hmm.
But in general,
it's
within
the
Islamic
context,
this is the man who goes for asking. Yeah.
Thank you, Dr. Shamily. We're going to go for a little while, but we're going to be right back. Don't go away.
Muslim Family, a program from the Call of Islam.
In a poor, meager state, little food on a plate. Mother said she was glad, always sharing what we had. When I asked how can we share what's not enough, she said the heart of a Muslim's filled with love. He said it's time you should know, you will learn as you grow, that some people around will do what's bad to bring you down. Father said to be a star that's shining bright, for the heart of a Muslim does what's right. It's the heart of a Muslim through the guidance of Islam that makes you fair and kind and helpful to your fellow man. So living as a Muslim means that you must play a part. Allah looks not at how you look, but what is in your heart.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Muslim Family. You are listening to, we're speaking to you from the holy city of Qom, the Call of Islam radio station. I'm Fatima Shamily, your host for this program, and we are with Dr. Abbas Ali Shamily. Obviously, the things that we discussed, that these characteristics are usually addressed to women, that the woman should have this or shouldn't have that and other things, is because the people who came to the Imams or to the Prophet, peace be upon them, were usually men. So the answers were given holding true for men. So if there's nothing else you would like to add on, we can move on to my next question.
Okay. If you don't mind, let me just put two more points.
Okay, sure.
It's very obvious when someone listens to these types of discussions, immediately she or he could come to this point that, oh, it is only man who decides to choose who will be the possible future spouse for him. What about the women in Islam? If it is a just and fair religion, you know, why don't you talk about the criteria, you know, attached to the female side,
right,
to women? This is, to my opinion, goes back to the Islamic culture. In an Islamic context, in an Islamic community, even nowadays, and even up until years and centuries after, the context is that selection begins with men, with gents. This is the duty of men and gents to go and choose. And it is very important that the advices and the teachings are, you know, cover very detailed characteristics with regard to women. Why? Because there are points that if we don't pay enough attention to them on long run, we will face clashes, we will face troubles that we are not able to solve it.
Right.
So this is the Islamic context. You know, I told you that if you refer to the Islamic history or to history of religion, you won't find cases more than two, three, four, five maximum. Cases that women went to choose their husband.
Right.
Always, always, the custom, the habit, the culture is
men go after.
And it's normal. And in the majority of other non-Muslim societies, also the same. This is men who go for choosing.
And your second point?
And the second point, the detail that if men are careful enough to choose proper partner for their future, okay, they have guaranteed
their own marriage.
Their own marriage.
The longevity of their marriage.
Yeah. The remaining of the whole family will be on the hand of man who is going to, you know, manage the formation of young generation, future generation, and also relationship within the family.
Right.
So he is the one who is responsible for this.
And also, I think one of the reasons that may be true, correct me if I'm wrong, is that when the man and the woman get married, you don't always have to think about the short run. Eventually, there will be children entering the family and, you know, coming into existence. So the woman and the man, both when they want to choose their spouse, they have to think, is this the right person? Is this the person that I want to see my children look up to as the role model? So because the lady has a very crucial role in her child, in child rearing, and she'll be the trainer of the children. That's why we have to be really careful that the mother we're choosing has qualifies in at least akhlaq and taqwa. Okay, Dr. Shamli, we really want to wrap up this discussion too, inshallah,
just
today.
If you don't mind, add another point with regard to another narration narrated from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that in case that happens for someone who goes for marriage but needs to keep in mind another character to avoid. Would you like me to add this, or
I'd rather spend the rest of the time of our program on some other questions that I had, and I think they're very important as well. I mean, And then if we have time, then maybe we can address the points that you will have in mind. I just wanted to highlight one thing, istikhara, or asking assistance from the Quran. So, like, you see a lot of cases among the Muslim families that they say, like, they talk to this case and they've reached an agreement, and it's like 80% clear that these two, like, really like each other and they qualify. Based on all of the things we said, right? And but still, like, the parents or the child, the girl and the boy, they themselves say, like, no, we have to do istikhara and ask the Quran's advice. So how would you stand on this?
For istikhara, there are different opinions.
Mm-hmm.
To my understanding, it could be somehow helpful when we have passed all needed and required information. When really we have collected all needed information,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, from consultation, doing search, doing even, I don't say research, but it could be a type of research even.
Yes.
Because it's the family formation.
Yes.
We need to take it serious. And in Islam, family formation is the most important happening which may happen in
a person's life.
In person's life. So we need to take it serious.
Mm-hmm.
If you take it serious, that's okay. It's normal. It's not wastage of time. So with regard to istikhara, in according to majority of ulama and the scholars of Islam, is a type of supplication. You call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Him to provide you the best. It is not necessarily in form of istikhara. Because istikhara in the Arabic term means asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the good.
For the best.
For your good.
Yeah.
For your best. So, if this is the case, it does not, you know, necessarily a must, an obligation to be in form of, you know, traditional istikhara, that it is very normal among the among many, many Muslim families.
What do you mean?
Istikhara is asking Allah. So the best way is to perform two units of praying, and then you go to prostration and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the best. Astaghfirullaha birahmatihi khiyaratan. You know, many times, Astaghfirullaha birahmatihi khiyaratan.
And then you open the Quran.
I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the best, from His compassion, from His blessing, to provide me the best. That's it.
Uh-huh. So you only can do istikhara. So if you're 80% sure, then you shouldn't do istikhara. If it's like a 50-50, then you can do that. Okay. One more thing. When we look at the Western world and we see that people are in boyfriend girlfriend relationships for a long time, even before they start cohabiting together, do you think this would be a good solution for us Muslims? Like if we have, let's say, temporary marriage, and we have this kind of, we cohabit before marriage, would that actually help to guarantee the marriage?
If it goes by temporary marriage, yes. In case that you want to have good information about your potential wife and you don't know him,
or husband.
You don't know her, you don't know her family, okay? The only way is to do search. One good way is to make temporary marriage, then for 1 month, 2 months, 6 months, whatever. Then you try to come up with better understanding, with better information, with better knowledge. If all other gates are closed.
And I was reading...
Normally, you know, there are ways. While you're in university, in high school...
Yes, you don't have to.
In neighborhood, in sessions...
You socialize and you get to know...
There are many ways.
And I came across the statistics. I don't remember the number exactly, but it was more than 50% of the people who live together before marriage actually end up in divorces after, like, when they get married. Whereas the people who get married at ages of 18 and that sort of age range, they happened to have 70% of them, I think, had very long-lasting healthy lives. Thank you very much, Dr. Shamily. We've come to another program of Muslim Family in which we talked about who not to marry. We hope you enjoyed our discussion. Next time, inshallah, we're going to talk about things that the parents should keep in mind when wedding their daughters specifically. Thank you for being with us until this point. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Life is a test. Even if it hurts so much you want to cry, for the heart of a Muslim does not lie. It's the heart of a Muslim through the guidance of Islam that makes you fair and kind and helpful to your fellow man. So living as a Muslim means that you must play a part. Allah looks not at how you look, but what is in your heart. So living as a Muslim means that you must play a part. Allah looks not at how you